If you got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now, I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, would you be willing to spend a night in jail to save a soul from hell? Would you be willing to spend a night in jail to save a soul from hell? Our lesson this morning is coming from chapter 4. Chapter 3 last week we shared with that. And we found how that this lame man that had been lame from birth, now about 40 years old, was carried every day down to the gate called Beautiful, because that was the one that was most used by the people. And he was laid there to ask alms of anyone, and it was an honorable thing for the Jew to give alms to the poor and the needy and the blind, the lame, the halt, like this individual was. And therefore, he was sitting in this very obvious place. And when someone would come to the temple, he would ask alms of them and usually receive something. And according to last week's lesson that you and I shared in, we found in that he asked Peter and John as they went down to the temple to pray, as their custom was, for an alms. And Peter said to him, "Look on me." And he fastened his eyes upon Peter. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk." And he took him by the hand, and he lifted him up, and the man went to jumping and shouting and praising and thanking God and went down to the temple, and the scribes and Pharisees are in an uproar. They just can't stand it. They are afraid of what this man called Jesus is going to cause in their country roundabout. If he continues to do great miracles like he's doing now, we're all going to be on trouble. So from that point on, they looked for a reason to get rid of him. Wanted him to not be able to get out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Begin reading with me in chapter 4 there in verse 1. He said, "As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Peter and John's just going along and people's asking them, you know, "Isn't that the lame man that lay at the gate called Beautiful? Isn't this, isn't that?" Asking all these questions. These scribes and Pharisees are watching and seeing all this. They see the large crowd that's gathered because of this miracle. And the scripture said in verse 2, that being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, the Sadducees firmly denied the resurrection. They had no contact. They had no teachings. They had no thought. They thought nothing of the resurrection. And here, these men were preaching Jesus through the resurrection of the dead. And verse 3 said, "They laid hands on them and put them in hold," or put them in jail, "until the next day, for it was now evening tide." Late in the evening, time for everything to shut down. The scripture says that they laid hold on them, didn't have time to deal with them like they wanted to at the moment, and the crowd was still there, and it was large, and they weren't completely stupid. They knew that if they tried something, this crowd would probably mob them, and they would be in trouble. So rather than arrest Peter and John, rather than deal with them any harsher, they just put them in jail to hold them till the next day. And that's where I got the thought from my message this morning. Would you be willing to spend a night in jail to save a soul from hell? Think about what they have the opportunity to do here in their hearts and what they're trying to prove to these individuals concerning this and the things that they're doing. Verse 4 tells all the story. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about how many? 5,000. Not them spending a night in jail. Didn't just save one, it saved how many? 5,000 men, besides all the other women and children and stuff. And it said in verse 5 here that it came to pass on tomorrow. What does that mean? It happened. That's right. That their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. All the powers to be, from the chief high priest, Annas, here, down to Caiaphas, his son-in-law. Annas is done retired, and he's still sitting over here as being the overseer of them all. And he appointed his son-in-law, Caiaphas, here. And then his next of kin here, whether these are his children or whoever, we're not real sure about. But we know that all the key positions were filled with his family. Kept it in-house. Didn't let anybody, they rule the roost. And when they saw all of this, they decided we better have us a meeting. We better get our act together and figure out how we're going to stop this. If we don't, he's going to overthrow us, and this man called Jesus is going to cause us a lot of heartache. We're going to lose our position. Verse 7 says, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have you done this? They called Peter and John back in the next morning and set them down in the midst of their meeting that they're having with all the powers to be, and ask them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Good old Bexalingo, how in the world did you do that? How did you do that? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, there's the answer to how they did it. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, the presence and power of God upon his heart and his life, gave him the boldness that he needed to do. He first humbled himself. What could they have spent the night doing the night before when 5,000 believed on him and were saved? What could have taken place? They could have argued. They could have fussed. They could have turned around, Peter and John could, to that crowd and say, I need y'all's help. This bunch is trying to put us in jail. Help us to escape. They didn't do that. They were willingly to do what? Go in, serve the night in jail, come in the next morning, be treated like prisoners, placed on the chopping block here, and ask, by what power, what authority have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, the leaders of the land of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. He said, y'all can question us all you want to about healing this impotent man. 40 years he's been in this condition. And for 40 years, someone has had to care for him. And after 40 years, because of the boldness of Peter and John, they have healed this man of his impotent condition. And now they're being questioned for it. You know, you do somebody a good deed. You turn somebody a helping hand. Some folks are going to question you. You know, some folks that don't matter what you do, they're going to question you, you know. But he said, be it known unto you all. And now all the people of Israel, I like this. Remember I told you, Peter's bare, he's bold. Why is he bold? He's filled with what? Holy Spirit. That the Holy Ghost has consumed him. And he said here that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and then he turns the table on these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and stuff, and says, whom ye crucified, him God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That same man that you crucified, that same man that you buried in that barred tomb, is the same Jesus that arose after 3 days, after 40, ascended back to the Father. And today, he was here in the presence and power of the Holy Ghost to heal this man of his infirmities. This is the stone, or Jesus was the stone, that was cast out by the builders, and it became the head of the corner. They use the analogy here of building a building, setting the corners, and beginning and the layout. And said, you killed the corner, the head of the corner, and destroyed what you thought was our Lord and Savior. But he come up out of that grave, didn't he? That's a shouting time for all of us. That's shouting time. Now listen to what he tells them in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only way you're going to get through to heaven is by the way of the cross. What Jesus did for us in dying on that cross. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Three things important in that verse of Scripture I want you to grasp with me, okay? It says they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You know, if we were to demonstrate our boldness, it may cost us to have to spend a night in jail. It may cause you and I to be persecuted in some other way other than jail time. It might be, well, we may be persecuted and disowned by family or government or some other form of whatever in our hearts and our lives. But he said they noticed the boldness of Peter and John. Second, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. We don't like for somebody to call us stupid, do we? Ignorant. No. What did they know about Peter and John? They're the leaders now of the land. They knew about the impotent man. They knew about Peter and John and Jesus. All those things didn't just happen there in Jerusalem and the leaders not know what was going on. But they thought that when they killed Jesus by his death on the cross, that it was over, finished and done. They didn't have nothing else to worry about in their lives. But what did Peter do? What did John do? Peter said, I'm going a fishing. They knew what his trade was. They knew that he didn't come out of one of their colleges or seminaries, or they knew that he hadn't been under the influence of a professor or anybody to teach them and stuff. They called him unlearned, ignorant, and what they were doing in their hearts and their lives. By what authority? Where'd they get this in their lives? They marveled at their ability. And they took knowledge of them, you know. What is knowledge? What you know it. They took knowledge. They just thought about what they knew. And their conclusion was this. What does the last part of that verse say there? They took knowledge of him that they had been with Jesus. Nobody could do what Peter and John did if they hadn't been totally sold out to the presence of who Jesus was, you know? All this time, these scribes, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, and all these folks, they're looking for the coming of the Messiah. He's done come. They done killed him. They done buried him. He's done rose again. He's done ascended back to the Father. Now he's out there through Peter and John, and I hope every one of us here in Bexley Baptist Church sharing the good news of Jesus with those round about us. And the scripture says that they took knowledge that he had been with Jesus. He'd been there. Where'd Peter get that boldness from? What'd he do whenever they, before the rooster crowed? He denied and denied and denied it. But after the Lord cooked him breakfast there on the sandbar, one morning after a fishing trip all night that gained nothing, the Lord asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." What'd he tell him to do? "Feed my sheep." The Lord looks at you and I today, ask us, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." What's he going to tell us to do? Feed his sheep. Take care of those that don't have the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. It says, "Beholding the man which was healed was standing with them, and they could say nothing against him." There he is, proof's in the pudding, ain't it? He, for 40 years, was lame, and now he's standing, and he's right in the midst. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Kind of reminds me of y'all sometimes. They say, "Yeah, now, Brother Larry, we need you to go out there. We need to do a little talking in here. I don't know if you're fixing to fire me or what you're fixing to do." You know, sometimes when you pull out. But that's what they did to them. Yeah. They couldn't talk openly in front of him because they knew what was true was true. So they told Peter and John, "Y'all wait outside and let us talk about this a minute." Verse 16, they said, "What shall we do to these men? For they indeed did a notable miracle that has been done by them and is manifest or made known to all them that dwelled in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." They didn't have a leg to stand on in their dealings because the man was up and he was walking and celebrating and praising the Lord. Verse 18 said, verse 17 said, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "Whether is it right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than we listen to God? You be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. They were having a hallelujah time. 5,000 men plus the women and children that might have been involved in that celebration, all because Peter and John took nothing and turned it into something for the glory of God. What do you mean, Brother Larry, they took nothing? What did Peter tell them? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, give I unto thee. Arise and walk." Didn't cost a thing. It only required the lame man to do what? Believe. Believe. That's all you and I have to do in our hearts and our lives to know that we are a child of God, is to believe on the name of Jesus. and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. And the scripture says in verse 22, the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is. They acknowledged Him as being Lord of lords and King of kings, who by the mouth of their servants David took them all the way back to the lineage of David there. Why did the heathens rage and the people's image vain things? Why they had to go out and build all those altars and put them out on those high hills? Why they had to make that golden game? Why they had to do all the things all the way back that they've done? Here he said, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You remember what they did? Piling them. They sent them from one to another, and back and forth, trying to find somebody to take the load. He said, a man of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Herod, Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, the Jews, they were all gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hands and thy counsel determined before to be done. They ain't going to try to stop. You know, what happens today? Spirit of God's moving in the hearts and lives of people, showing them their need to trust Him as Lord and Savior. Just believe in their heart that He is the Son of God, and He come and He lived and died for your sins on that cross, was buried, rose again, and was right back on the Father's side, interceding for us. Believe, believe, believe what the Lord did for us. He said, now, look at them. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy words. All this 500 plus all those other people plus Peter and John plus this lame man and anybody else that come along, they had an old-fashioned prayer meeting. They went before the Lord and they prayed to the Lord and they asked God for what? Boldness. Boldness to do what? He said, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Not only do I wonder if we would be willing to spend a night in jail to save a soul from hell, I wonder if we'd just be willing to be bold enough to share the good news of the gospel with folks round about us. Where did He tell us to start? Right here at home. We're going to the uttermost parts of the earth with them shoeboxes back there. But we all got neighbors. We all got friends. We got co-workers. We got family that we love dearly. On and on and on the list goes. That's right at our hands. Right before our eyes. Have we shared the gospel with them? We willing to be bold enough to say to them, I love you, but Jesus loves you a whole lot more. He loved you enough to die for you on that cross. All right? They cried out for boldness, and verse 30 says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child of Jesus. We just stretched out our hand. Took that lame man, 40 years old, been laying there for a long, long time, and told him to do what? Go see Dr. Get Well? That ain't what he said. He told him to arise. What did that man have to do? He didn't have to look up and say, you know I can't walk, I can't mumble, I can't do that. That ain't what he did he? When Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, "Arise." He started getting up from her. See, it takes a part on your part and my part for the Lord to be able to heal us. He said, "By the stretching forth of thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus." I think it would amaze us to know sometimes in our hearts what God can do for us. We just let go and let Him have first place in our hearts and our lives. Stand in amazement of it. And finally, he closes it out in his prayer in verse 31. Said, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Wow. When they had prayed, wouldn't it be something this morning when we go into our prayer that this whole building go to shaking? We'd be thinking what? There's that tornado they've been warning us about. We've been under a watch all morning, you know, bad weather. Last thing we'd think about would be what? Be honest with me now. That the Holy Ghost? That the Holy Spirit of God? Scripture says when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. They spake the word of God with boldness. Folks, we talked about a refreshing. I don't know of nothing that would refresh your soul anymore than to help somebody come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their heart and life. Would you pray with me? Father God, I know that we've sat back and for days of our lives we have not practiced our faith. We've not shared our gospel. We've not let other people know that we've been with Jesus like Peter and John did. I would, Father, that we'd be more aware of our surroundings. Starting in Judea, then to Samaria, then to the othermost parts of the world. Bexley, George County, Mississippi, the world as a whole needs to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to spend a night in jail? If you would you be willing to have the boldness to pray and ask God for the courage to ask your family member, ask your neighbor, ask your co-worker, ask whoever God lays on your heart to give you the boldness to ask them if they truly believe that Jesus died for their sins. And he wants to save their soul, give them the assurance of home in heaven. Father, you know the need of every heart here this morning. Perhaps there's some that can have that boldness until they trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Maybe you're saying to them this morning, you need to step out and say, "I take Jesus as my Savior." Have the boldness to believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin. You'd ask him, he'd wipe that slate clean. I don't know what God may be dealing with you about. Quietness is still in the next few moments. Let God speak to your heart. And I know God will. In Jesus' name we pray. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing?
I surrender all.
Let's stand together. I surrender all.